End of the Blender, episode 57.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw behind me and never let me be? But it really doesn't matter. Hey everybody, this is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And I think just to pick up where we left off, the next thing that we had going on was our dear friend Jet Michelle had her birthday. Some of us went and had fantastic lunch and then came back to Casa de Blender. And our gift to her was that I made the birthday cake, which was what we have called the double rainbow cake. Which was a two-layer cake, and each of the layers had a rainbow.
Yeah.
So it was really delicious, and it seems like she enjoyed it. And I made my first ever cherry frosting, maraschino cherry frosting, which I think was quite tasty.
Oh, yeah, that was a definite success.
And I know we promise all the time to make something specific, our ID3 art for the episode, but I think we usually forget to. But we'll really try to remember this time, I promise.
Yeah.
But if not, I'll link to it in the show notes. You can see the Flickr page and I'll link to the blog post where I said how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures there.
Cool.
And is pretty standard with us. As soon as we stop talking about something, letting you guys know what's going on, a change happens.
Everything changes again.
I'm pretty sure it was just the last episode that we mentioned that one of the reasons for changing up the format of the show a bit was because our lives had changed, what with having none of our kids living nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Just about a week after that, our 19-year-old naughty bear told us he was planning on moving back to Virginia.
Yay!
So I worked out some details with him and with his dad. And ended up hopping on a plane the day after Jet's birthday party and flying out to where his dad lives and where he had his apartment with his roommate and, of course, where LT lives. And I helped him pack up and get organized and settle out the business there. Got to spend a little time with LT, not nearly as much as I'd hoped. But then Naughty Bear and I had a road trip back.
Mm-hmm.
It took us about 24 hours. We intended to stop the first night and get a hotel room and drive the rest of it the next day. But we were doing so well with switching off driving that we just kept going and we drove it in one shot.
Yeah.
And the thing that I credit most of that with is the white noise app on our Droid X's.
Mm.
You know, when one of us got tired, that person would move to the passenger seat, put on the Droid X white noise machine with the headphones.
Mm-hmm.
The driver could listen to whatever they wanted to, and the passenger could just zonk out. It worked beautifully. We were totally rested the whole time. We got a little cranky by the time we got back to our place, but that was after driving almost exactly 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
No, not at all.
It was a really great time. We really bonded and talked about a lot of stuff we hadn't ever really talked about before. Actually, you know, the weekend before that, we attended a party for our friend Grail Wolf at the Hard Times Cafe and saw a bunch of friends. That was a lot of fun. Lots of babies in the group that didn't exist the last time we had his birthday party at the Hard Times. At that point, Heather was pregnant with Grail Pup. And this time, Grail Pup was running around. So it was really cute. It was wild and raucous. And
there was a huge turnout.
Yeah.
We'd taken over that whole upper balcony again.
Yeah.
And really took it over, which is great with kids running around. Every kid loves a pool table.
Yeah. But that party, it was a real blast. I'm really glad we did that. The next day we ended up, It was after that. We ended up at our friend John and Mia's house with Thomas and Andrea and their monkeys. We had a really, really great time. We always have so much fun with them. But it was also World Nutella Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, February. That was February 5th. So it's now March 7th or 8th. So it's been a while since we've recorded. But I don't remember if I told the story, the Nutella Day story, on the last episode. I had been craving Nutella. I'll just keep it short. I had been craving Nutella like crazy, seeing it everywhere. And I finally decided I can't take it anymore. I need my Nutella. I need it now. I normally can't buy it because I'm the only one that liked it. I would eat the whole thing, the whole jar. So I pulled out the calendar. I said, okay, I'm doing my weigh-in on Friday. Saturday, I'm eating all the Nutella I want, nonstop, with a spoon from the jar if I so choose. And then later on, after telling Chooch and a couple of other people, I looked it up online. February 5th was actually World Nutella Day.
Yeah.
So I took it as a sign. It was meant to be.
Clearly.
So I incorporated Nutella into every meal, including brownies the night before. So we rang in World Nutella Day with Nutella in our bellies. And then breakfast with Nutella. And at the Hard Times Cafe birthday party for Grail Wolf, we brought four different types of cookies in a big jar of Nutella so everybody could have some. And then at dinner that night, things got a little wild. We were John and Mia's. I was feeling a little adventurous. I never thought it would happen to me.
Dear Penthouse.
Actually, what happened was I got a little crazy with the Nutella. There were appetizers out, so I was like, huh, I wonder what this would taste like. So, a tortilla chip with Nutella, really tasty. You get that salt chocolate sweetness, really good. John made Alfredo noodles to go with this whole like pasta bar thing he was doing. Nutella with fettuccine noodles, tasty. Of course, it's just another carbohydrate delivery system. Then things got a little weird. I decided to take the delicious garlicky broccoli that Chooch made, which I had no idea that he could make this, and it's now his responsibility to make this broccoli for me because it was so tasty.
That's one of those things that we just made up on the spot.
Well, I hope you committed it to memory because you must make it for me. It was so tasty.
Sure.
But that I happened to glance over and see the Nutella jar and I thought, eh, I love the broccoli. I love the Nutella. So the two things came together. It wasn't bad. It was surprisingly kind of good. And John, being the adventurer that he is, he tried it too.
He just had to try it.
He agreed. It was good. He tried everything that I tried with the Nutella. Then we did a cupcake bar with banana slices and Nutella and chocolate frosting and cherry preserves and peanut butter. It was madness.
Tasty, tasty madness.
Tasty, tasty madness. My favorite was the banana
Yeah.
with a little bit of Nutella put inside of a cupcake because I did the hollow out trick so that they'd be filled cupcakes with the little chocolate cupcake plug back on top with a very thin layer of Nutella on top again.
And my favorite was the same minus Nutella.
With chocolate.
Using chocolate frosting
Yeah.
instead of Nutella.
And I should add that Andrea Gideon at the Hard Times Cafe invented the reverse Oreo, which was a hit. Nilla wafers with Nutella in the middle. OMG, Lollicopter, Raffle Barbecue. It was amazing. It was so good. But that was a really crazy weekend. It was fantastic. And then we did the party for Jet the next weekend. I jumped on a plane. It was a very stressful week while I was helping Naughty Bear get packed up, but had a really good time with the ex and his family, his kids and his wife. And really, it was very, very stressful for a lot of reasons and obviously stuff I don't want to talk about. But I think that we made some inroads as far as, his family and our family. And getting on better footing, which I was really grateful for. A little bit of time with LT is always a good thing. A lot of time with Naughty Bears, always a good thing. And since then, I've just been kind of recovering. So, Chooch, what was your week like while I was out of town?
It was quiet.
Ouch. Okay. It was quiet. Okay.
Was very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet. Okay. We went from quiet to very quiet.
Well, not too quiet.
Oh, it
Kaylee was
wasn't
there,
too quiet. Okay.
And lonely.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Lonely.
Kaylee and I did okay, you know.
We survived.
We survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost brought another dog home.
Yeah. That's right.
Naughty Bear's roommate had a dog that I decided needed more attention than it was getting, and I fell in love with him. I had to change his name.
Right.
From what his real name was to Not My. So that I was constantly reminding myself, that is not my dog.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you and Kaylee muddled through without me and had a wonderful time and enjoyed the peace and quiet of not having someone say, could you come here a sec? Babe, this isn't working. I can't print. This is heavy. It's going to eat me. Come kill it. Whenever I saw a bug. I can't imagine why you would say it was quiet.
Yeah, Kaylee just kills her own bugs.
Oh, she toys with them and then doesn't know what to do with them.
That's true.
Yeah. Till they're mostly dead.
Mostly.
Hi, this is Paulette Jackson, and you're listening to Into the Blender with my good friends Chooch and Viv. They asked me to tell you about my new book, just out from Dragon Moon Press. It's called The Empress Sword, and it's about a brave young prince, a fearsome dragon, and a magic sword. But for 13-year-old Prince Astor of Caladan, the quest for the Empress Sword, the only magic strong enough to defeat the dragon menacing his kingdom, is just the beginning. You can pick up a print copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or other fine online booksellers. There's a Kindle version available from Amazon, and soon there'll be other ebook formats available too. For more information on me, the book, and links where you can purchase your own copy, go to paulettejackson.com. Astor was always told that wielding great magic required a sacrifice, but what the Empress Sword demands from him is the last thing he ever expected to lose, his own identity as Crown Prince, and the king's only son.
Well, that's probably enough news.
Probably.
I'm going to jump into our internet. Oh, I did it again.
It's not just internet,
babe. It's not internet finds. We need a cool name for that.
Yeah, I know.
People, help us out.
Got an idea?
What is a cool name for a segment of interesting things that you find?
Tasty tidbits?
You know, that can get mixed up. Tasty. That's a tongue twister, and that could...
Tasty niblets.
That could go into...
Tasty tidbits.
Naughty territory.
Naughty tidbits? No.
Stop.
Oh, sorry. It's late here.
My find... is actually a little late. Something called the RPM Challenge. A lot of people have heard us talk about NaNoWriMo. And NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. So RPM Challenge is the same thing. It's just like NaNoWriMo, but it's for musicians. And it is in the month of February. So if you are a musician.
So you're really late.
Yeah.
Not just a little late.
Right. But it's still so cool. So if you are either a musician or if you think about becoming a musician, you got a whole year to learn how to play an instrument or two and get in on next year. Or if you're just a fan of music, you can go over to rpmchallenge.com and check it out. So what it is you are writing and recording an album in a month.
Wow.
So it has to be... I think if I remember, the target's 30 minutes of music, so it can be an EP. You know, that's probably, depending on the genre of music, that could be one song.
Right. Some of the stuff you listen to, right.
Or it could be 30 songs. But so it's just really cool. It was something I was thinking of maybe doing, even though I didn't really... I had heard the name before, but I never really went to check out what it was all about.
Right.
And it was just a few, I don't know, maybe a week or so before February that I actually took the time to go and look at the website and everything. And like, oh, wow, that's the week away. Well, maybe I could, maybe. And yeah, the month just, woo.
It did too.
The month just flew by.
It really did.
So next year.
Yeah.
I plan on partaking.
I think that would be really cool myself. I encourage you to do that. I insist that you do that. How about that?
How about you?
And my naughty knit, no.
See?
My find or tasty tidbit or whatever is actually something that, it was actually something that John Taylor Williams, have we mentioned his name enough in this episode? It's purely coincidental, I promise. He linked in Twitter one day an a post made by a guy. It was called What Made for a Successful D&D Birthday Party. The blog is called The Mule Abides, and it's a pretty lengthy article by Tavis Allison on how he successfully shared Dungeons and Dragons with 8 and 9 year olds at his son's birthday party.
Cool.
It was so successful that he's actually started a company hosting these parties in the New York City area. You can email Tavis at, that's T-A-V-I-S, at adventuringparties.com for specific information on hiring his service. I will link to his blog in the show notes. It was a really fun article just to read and see how he did it. And it's something that I would love to have been able to have set up for my kids when they were young enough to have really latched onto it. Mm-hmm. That seems to be like the key age for picking up on that kind of thing. I know that we did a gaming day, a D&D day with the nephews and our sons, but, you know, Naughty Bear was like, I'd rather play WoW. And you mm-hmm. know, I think we may have missed the boat on that unless we put some more conniving and bribery into it. But it was a really interesting article to see how he and his friend set it up. And so we'll be linking to that. And thank you to John for linking.
I don't know if I ever told you as a kid, we ended up doing some actual live action role playing.
LARPer.
But I was like.
You were the cool LARPer.
Well, no, I was going to say I was a little kid.
Oh.
Like 10, 11.
Gotcha.
And so one of my friends, we at that time, we had played tabletop D&D, but we didn't really pay attention to the rules.
Like, right.
We knew you rolled dice, but we didn't know exactly why.
Fair enough.
And we just kind of made it up as we went along. And yeah. We had a lot of fun making characters, although we didn't really, you know, follow the proper way to make a character. We had lots of fun making up backgrounds,
yeah,
and the names and loading out our equipment and all this. Anyways, my one friend, his dad would actually set up a LARP for us.
Oh, wow.
So we had all kinds of, you know, plastic swords and goofy costumey things.
That's cool.
And some of the kids, it was determined, you know, for a certain part that they were going to be the monsters. So he'd take them out into these trees in the park and have them hide. And then the rest of the party would go walking, and then the monsters would jump out.
Oh, my
gosh. And we'd
gosh.
Do sword fights and stuff. And it was, he did it kind of like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
So there were clues around the park.
Uh-huh.
And the clues would lead to other clues.
Wow.
And then it ended up being like a treasure hunt. So there was this one final place we go, and we fight the big bad monster thing, which was his dad.
Yeah.
And slay him. And then you get to dig up the treasure. And he had this wooden treasure box that he actually buried in the park.
Oh, my gosh.
Next to a tree. And we open it up. And inside, it's full of candy.
Oh.
And gold coins
oh,
and all sorts
gosh.
Of you know, treasury stuff.
Wow.
And I didn't know until we were teenagers, till we were like 16 or 17. I had no idea back then. We were just kids. And, you know, we were all focused on the candy.
Yeah.
That chest was actually, it had gold cougarans in it. He put real gold coins in the treasure chest.
Oh, my God.
We had no idea.
And you probably just lost them
no
because they were just like
We
toys.
Didn't get to keep them.
Oh, bump. Well, no. Okay, I can't fault that gold cougarans.
Yeah, those are like, They were like $400 a piece.
Wow.
We didn't get to keep them. It was pretend treasure that we were capturing. And
luckily, it was the candy that you focused on, not the Cougarans, because he would have been like, oh, yeah, you can't have
there
that.
There was one that we had never found. And his father had passed away when we were in between 7th and 8th grade.
Aww.
His father passed. So we never knew for sure if he had ever
gone
back.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, he was a very responsible man.
Right.
Even though he's burying gold in the park. But no, he, you know, I'm sure he went and got it back.
Yeah.
But we did, as teenagers, go back to where we remembered the stuff was to see if
you could find
something. And this one little area where we primarily did our adventures was now a lake.
Oh, my gosh.
So we couldn't dig to try.
So what did your friend think about that? Was it like this frustrating mystery, or was it kind of like a, that's kind of cool that it could still be out there?
Yeah.
It seems like it would be like this really cool thing. Although I can see some people getting pissed off. I got to get scuba gear, but it just seems like this cool little possibility that's out there. Yeah.
We do have a couple pieces of feedback. We've got a voicemail. And we've got a email.
Right.
So I will go ahead and play the voicemail.
Right on.
Hi, it's Nucha. Pardon me if the audio quality is not so good. I'm calling from my car just after listening to your Into the Blender holiday roundup episode. I had to share that you played Rugrats for your kids, and there are getting older, and Naughty Bear is 19, and he's all excited. And the funny thing is over the holidays, when visiting my family, my 16, almost 17-year-old niece has been mainlining Rugrats. She, too, grew up with Rugrats and just kind of fell back in love with them recently and has been watching them, and she's getting all sorts of new enjoyment over it because we all know Rugrats has older jokes and things, but she's getting a new appreciation for it. So that's really cool. My other two nieces, who are 18 and 19, have never stopped watching Rugrats or Full House or Christmas Villa. Anyway, so thank you. The other thing I wanted to mention is I was surprised when Viv was talking about her relationship with her father's fiancé, how jealous I was that she had a good relationship with her father's fiancé. Coming from a broken home myself, unfortunately, I can't say the same thing. My parents divorced after 30 years, starting when I was in high school, finishing when I was in college, and a couple years before I got married, my dad ran away and got married to someone he hadn't even told us he was dating, driving a wedge between himself and his children, then moving away and driving that wedge further. And unfortunately, I've never really even been given a chance to have a chance to appreciate her. And I have to say, I was very surprised that I'm kind of jealous because I don't have that opportunity. Lastly, I wish I listened to this before I did my latest episode of Nutty Bites because I would have totally pimped Goth by Kate's first show or latest show or however you want to call it. Because in my podcast, I just did the same thing for a band in SoCal. I need to keep up with these things. Anyway, great listening to the podcast. And what happened with the travel could happen to anyone. As a matter of fact, one of my best friends, it happened to him. Instead of going to the wrong city, he booked his flight for a month later and would have been AWOL had the airline not worked with him and allowed him to pay an extra $500 the day before to switch his flight. So it happens to everyone. All right. Have fun. Talk to you later.
First of all, thank you. But I will never, ever, ever forgive myself for the boys' travel snafu. Being a mom, it's not just something that you can let go of. I know it wasn't my fault, but it was Christmas. And Christmas is always supposed to be magical and wonderful and all those things. And no, it wasn't my fault, but yeah, it was my fault. I should have double checked it or or, you know, used some sort of divining stick or, I don't know, something. So I appreciate the thought, but I'm going to carry that one as a stake through my heart to my grave. As for the Rugrats, I love that. Rugrats Forever, man. I love that show as a parent. I loved my kids watching it because even the adult level stuff, I mean, it wasn't like The Simpsons where there's multiple levels and you really hope your kids don't get the higher level of the Simpsons until later. Even the adult level of the Rugrats was still pretty cool and funny and clean and just really, really adorable. So, yep, I'm with you. I was really excited about that because I always love Rugrats. And as for for my dad's fiance, she's just really cool. And it's a confusing story. You know, mom passed away 5 years ago. I believe this is his third fiance, but his fourth engagement.
Right.
I believe he was engaged to the second woman twice.
Okay.
That we know of.
Right.
Because there have been other relationships and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And none of them made it to the moving in stage as the current fiance. Hopefully the future wife, I dare to say, has made it. She's actually moved in with dad so they can see how things work out, which I think is very wise.
Yeah.
I really do like her. She's a very nice woman. She's very interested in all the family members. She's just really, really sweet, very considerate. Her son is the same. It would be really hard not to like her. And as I have tried to get my dad to understand, I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like he yet believes me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me that he's dating and engaged or when he gets married. When my mom died, I no longer see them as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I see him very distinctly and I see her very distinctly. I no longer see them as a present or future tense. I see them as past tense. I don't have any problem with him dating or anything like that. I'm happy. I hope he's happy. I want nothing but the best for him. And she is pretty darn cool. And I really value that, you know, and I, you know, you say that it's great. I don't think he believes me. I think in his mind, it's on some level, for some reason, he likes to believe that I'm hung up on the fact that my mom's gone and I just want him to be with her only and I'll never accept anybody in his life. But
yeah.
That's his hang up. That's not my hang up. And my brother and sister and I think we all we've talked about it. We all like her.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope he doesn't screw it up because she's pretty cool. I wouldn't mind her being my stepmother.
Right.
Stepmother.
Yes. And I've been on both sides. My dad had dated one woman and got real serious. I'm pretty sure they lived together. After the divorce with my mother, who was not so nice. And
the girlfriend, not your mom.
Correct.
Yeah.
Did not get along with anybody. And thankfully that was
short-lived.
And I was younger too, so I didn't pick up quite on it as much.
Yeah.
But I knew I didn't really like her.
Yeah.
And find out, you know, my brother and sisters who were older, a lot older than me, you know, then find out that, you know, they really, really didn't like her. And then who he ended up marrying.
She's fantastic.
We absolutely love, and she's fabulous and all that.
Love,
and that's
love,
really
love
great.
Her.
And
she is a force of nature.
Yeah. She's what we refer to as a kick in the pants.
Ta-da. She's fabulous. I love her.
And my mother hasn't remarried. I remember she was dating this one guy who I thought was rad because he was an astronaut and he gave us these cool space pictures that like pictures of the actual Earth, like these prints.
Like the Earth.
The Earth.
Not an Earth, but the Earth.
A spaceship.
Wow.
And they were these huge, like super high quality NASA pictures.
Wow. Prints.
But
it is, it's hard. I mean,
yeah.
Mine's really different from what you and Nuke just are talking about, in that, you know, my mom died. It's not like they're living separate lives and we're having mm-hmm. to choose between the two families and where do we spend Christmas and this, that, and the other. It's not like that. Mom's gone. I don't get Christmas with her ever again. So we always try to make time for my dad at Christmas. Well, we always have made time for my dad at Christmas. If not on Christmas Day, then as close to it as possible, because mm-hmm. he's got things pulling his, we've got California pulling us. But, you know, it's different in the aspect that there's no back and forth, you know, parental jealousy of the other parent, you know, mm-hmm. you spend more time with that other parent. I mean, I'm guessing that that's what happens, but yeah, no, I'm sorry that you didn't get that chance. And, you know, if there's anything that I've learned as a parent, as an almost 42 year old woman, it's that you never are perfect. I am going to die an imperfect human being with yeah. flaws and frailties, and our parents are just as imperfect as us.
Yeah.
And I am horrified at the thought sometimes that, you know, as hard as I try, as much as I study and research and put so much thought into ethics and morals and doing the right thing for my kids and swallowing my pride and doing things that I don't want to do just because it might help them later. Even so, I'm still horrified at the thought that I am their role model. I am their parent. I am in charge of raising them and healthy and mentally healthy and all of that stuff. So, you know, there's no perfect parent. There's no way to be it, because we're human. We're frail and fragile, yeah. full of flaws. So I am sorry that you haven't had that opportunity, and, you know, never give up trying.
Yeah.
You never know.
Next up is an email from Moonlight.
Moonlight. He followed us here from COH Podcast.
Yes.
We heart him.
Very much.
Very much.
Hey, Viv and Jooch. I'm glad you're morphing your show versus just ending it. I've always enjoyed your episodes where you talk about what you've been reading, watching, and playing, and I think this new format will work well for you.
Thank you.
I would miss your current theme song.
Yeah,
it just always seemed to fit you two.
Aww.
Change can be good, too. We hope so.
We hope so. As you've noticed, we haven't changed the song yet.
Yeah.
We're having trouble actually making that change.
Yeah.
It's like...
Now, I've been to the DBK website, but even that only alludes to where the band's name came from. Any chance you might divulge the history of the name? Or is this just something I'll have to wait for when you're rich and famous and MTV does a biography on the band?
I think we'll have to save the answer for that. I think we should discuss it with the band.
Definitely.
And maybe even interview the band at the next practice and have them tell the story.
There's a thought.
I mean, you're part of the band, but...
Right.
Have everybody gather when that story is shared.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, yeah.
Possibly, yeah. We'll check it out. We will get...
Yes.
Everything is the band is a democracy, so...
For now, it remains a mystery.
For now, you just have to wonder.
And he continues, book comment. I heard you talking about Game of Thrones by George Martin and thought I'd give it a try. I enjoyed the first book of the series. Here comes the but.
Uh-huh. There's always a but.
But I'm halfway through book 3, and I find myself skipping whole chapters of just description.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems that he felt the need to include every piece of information he created to make his world, and it just bogs the story down. I'm not sure if I'll go beyond the third book, which is a shame because it did have such a strong start. Anyways, it's always a good day when your podcast drops. Moonlight.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you.
I've
been totally slacking because I'm still halfway through Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing after we finish the podcast is we're going to read some more because, honey, we only have a little over a month to finish it.
Yeah.
And there is HBO. A huge plot point coming up.
Mm-hmm.
MA and I were talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's finished it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, What? And yeah, we discussed it. And when she found out that you weren't at that point yet. No, you know what? I don't think she's finished it. She's gotten past the point where you are.
Okay.
She's gotten past that major plot point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say that it's very possible that 3 is one of the slower books. There's some crazy stuff that goes down in 4.
Mm-hmm.
They do kind of merge together for me because I read them again and I read them one right after the other. So I get confused over what's in what book. I kind of liken it to, now that I've listened to the entire trilogy of Lord of the Rings, there's a lot. There are many, many words. There's a lot of description and that sort of thing. And it is world building. And it's something that when you get to playing the games and when you become really entranced with the characters and all of that, it enriches it. But I don't blame you for skipping that sort of stuff, because I know that I glazed over during the songs in Lord of the Rings and right. that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just, there's some things that'll hold you and some things that won't, but the story.
And different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
Some people are probably really into that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I didn't skip a single word of Game of Thrones, but all of the songs in Lord of the Rings kind of got.
I was gonna say, he's talking about book 3.
Right. I always call it Game of Thrones. I mean the series.
Gotcha.
I always default to calling it Game of Thrones, but I mean the series.
Gotcha.
I don't read, you know, at the book end of each of the books, they have the entire family lineage of all of the families mentioned. I don't read all that. Sometimes I refer to it if I forget who the what's it this one is, but I think that's all that I use it for. Everything else, I read every line of it. Just entrances me. I'm fascinated by all the characters, some more than others, but all of them greatly hold my interest. And I just think it's great that you've read so far, and I wouldn't give up on book 4. Book 5, now we have the release date of A Dance with Dragons, which is going to be July 12th, which, yes, I've already pre-ordered. I would hope that you have time to go ahead and finish book 4 to decide if you want to get what is now, we have a release date for A Dance with Dragons, which just the title alone makes me think that, you know, Daenerys is going to cross the sea and come to the Seven Kingdoms, and there's going to be some dancing with some dragons. But it.
So it doesn't happen by book 4.
There is a lot there. I'm not telling you anything, Chooch.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I just spoilered it for Chooch. Shut up, Chooch. Anyways, I mean, finish book 3 if you can. Skim what you want. Give up on it if you want. It's not for everybody. There are some people that don't like it.
And if Game of Thrones works well on HBO, they'll be doing the other books. So, and you know, they're going to just skip to all the action.
And I think that there is such a huge groundswell of interest in Game of Thrones. I think it's going to get picked up for season 2. Now, whether season 2 is book 2, I haven't read that yet. I've been avoiding the blogs. I've been avoiding everything. I haven't even watched the last trailer. I know enough because I've read the book. So I don't know what or if they've announced if season 2 will be book 2. If so, then George needs to get to cranking a little faster. He can't do like 10 years between books.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got July 12th to look forward to for book 5. I'm very excited and possibly going to reread book 4. But there's so many other books that I want to read that I doubt I will.
Does he have a stated plan for the arc, or just
he has going? A stated plan. I mean, well,
so,
he,
I mean, does he
there
say
are
there
seven
will be
books.
Ten? There's, there will be seven.
Seven books.
Okay.
That's the plan. 7 books.
Gotcha.
That's what he's promised. Book 5 is the one coming out in July.
Right.
So, and you know, a lot of people are like, I want my book. Give it to me now. Look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If and I hope, I pray that this doesn't happen. If some terrible thing befalls George R.R. Martin and he does not write another word in this world, I will still be grateful and thankful to him for the words that he did write, mm-hmm. because I've gotten so much from these characters. I love them so much. Arya, I just want to scoop her up in my arms. Some of these characters just are in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, I know them. I've read so many words about them. So even if there is no book six, even if there's no book five, firmly in the camp that George R.R. Martin is not my bitch. Mm-hmm. He has written a lot of other books that I hope to read. And, you know, I don't have any problem with you not liking them. I don't like you any less. It's just a taste thing. It's no big deal. And maybe the TV show will spark your interest more because, like Chooch said, you won't have all the words. You'll just have the high points of the action. So, cool. I'm hopeful that you did find enjoyment worthy of the time, because those are some big books. And I'm curious if you've read... I can't remember if you gave feedback on Ender's Game, if you ever read that, Moonlight. So I'd love to know what you thought of that. And if you already did reply, boot to the head to me.
Thank you very much for that feedback.
Hope to hear again from you soon.
I think we're out of time.
I think we are out of time. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk at you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's SHARIF music.com.